Welcome to the Reclaim Your Rise podcast. My name is Lauren Bongiorno, nationally board certified health coach and founder and CEO of Risely Health, where we help people and families impacted by type 1 diabetes take ownership over their lives so that they can transform with more freedom and confidence. Everyone has a different reason to be here. You might be seeking knowledge, support, or community, but at your core, I know that you long for something deeper. You're here for transformation. And that's what the Reclaim Your Rise podcast is all about. A quick reminder before we start the show that nothing you hear on the Reclaim Your Rise podcast should be a substitute for personalized professional medical advice. Please always consult your physician or other medical professional before making any changes to your diet, insulin dosages, or healthcare plan. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Reclaim Your Rise. I am making a pivot today. What do I mean by that? We are not going to record the episode that I thought I would be recording, the episode that has an outline, the episode that is on the schedule, which was going to be around nutrition and grocery shopping and meal prep and setting yourself up for success, all of that. But I'm just not feeling it. Like, it's a great episode and I'm going to record it at some point for you, but I feel like what needs to be shared today is something that is more timely, something that happened to me last week, something that is of the sorts of a diabetes confessional, a diabetes is going to diabetes moment, just like that real raw, you can try to do everything perfect. And this is a very like human experience that a lot of people with type 1 diabetes have went through at some point in their life. And for me, 23 years with T1D, I have never done this before. So that's why I also was like, whoa, this is a first, right? Like, I've had before a lot of traumatic lows or highs or, you know, traveling to places all around the world and I like ran out of insulin. Like, I've experienced a lot of them, but this was a first for me. And for those of you who follow me on social media, you may already know what the story time is going to be. I shared it on Instagram, got, you know, hundreds of comments. It's been shared hundreds of times and there's still more to share, right? Like, there's, we need an extended story time around this. I think that's enough of an introduction. I think we should dive into what happened. And some of you already who maybe follow me on social media are like, all right, I know where we're going with this, or maybe by the title of this episode, but let's dive in. So it was a Wednesday morning, January 17th, and I woke up looking at my calendar thinking that the only challenge that day would be like all the things that I had to get done. It was one of those days where it was just back to back to back with like calls, podcast recordings, deliverables that I had to get, you know, to people. And from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., we had blocks. There was like 8 to 8:15, do this. 8:15 to 8:30, do this. Like 8:30 to 9:30, right? It was like very, it was color coded. The calendar was there. And I woke up and I'm like, all right, this is going to be a busy day. And then from 2:30 to 3, I had to pack because at 3 o'clock I had to go to the train because I was going into the city. I had meetings at night and then I was sleeping over in New York City because I had an 8:30 a.m. breakfast the next day. So it was like I was trying to squeeze a whole day into like a half a day and then also thinking about the next day, what I need to pack, all this. So my mindset going into the day was like attack, right? Like, we are in attack mode. We are in fierce, let's go, 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 go mode, no time to slow down. And there was no room for error. And I wasn't even considering the possibility of, hey, like, what if something happens? And that is exactly what happened. So the plan was brutally derailed, when instead of giving myself 10 carbs, I gave myself 10 units of insulin. Never in 23 years of living with diabetes have I done that. I've known people who have done that. We've had coaching members at Risely who have done that. I've had friends that have done that, but never had I done that. But now I had. So here's what happened. Here's what I eventually, you know, needed to do, what I learned from the day, how I'm proceeding forward, all of it. I had a call at 10 a.m. and at 9:30, I decided I wanted like a snack. I had already had breakfast. I think I had sourdough toast and eggs, if I can remember correctly, around like maybe like 7:45, 8 o'clock. But at 9:30, I was like, I'm just a little hungry. I want some nuts and fruit. So I put it in a bowl and my pump was in the office and I was in the kitchen. And so my laptop was out there. I kind of, you know, scurry to the office, pick up my pump, and now I'm on Omnipod 5. And for anybody who doesn't have the Omnipod interface, how it works is when you go to Bolus, it's a screen, and then there's three sections. The top section is a place where you can input your carbs. The second section is a place where you can input your blood sugar. And then the third place is the insulin calculation that is, you know, a result of the top two, your blood sugar and your carbs, or you can edit it and directly just like put something in there. And so instead of me putting in 10 carbs at the top, I was just moving so fast and I just put 10 in the insulin section, pressed confirm, put the pump down, heard like the beep. So I knew like the connection had worked and then left the room, went back into the kitchen. So now I'm back in the kitchen. I'm sitting at my kitchen island. I have my, you know, email going. I'm just, you know, sending things out, whatever needs to be done before my 10 a.m. call, eating the snack. And now it's like 10 minutes later. Maybe I don't actually know if it was 10 minutes, but it felt like 10 minutes later. Maybe it was 8 minutes later. Maybe it was 15 minutes later. I don't think it was that much, but it was around like 8 to 10 minutes later. I just kind of tune into my surroundings and I'm like, why am I hearing clicking? And so with the Omnipod 5, you can hear this clicking noise. It's like, right? Like when the insulin is going in your body. And it happens all throughout the day because you're constantly getting this background insulin, but usually it's happening like 1, 2, and then it stops. Or if you're a little bit higher, it's like 1, 2, 3. Sometimes if you're really high, it'll go like 1, 2, 3, 4. And you can kind of know without even like checking your blood sugar that, oh shoot, I need to check my blood sugar. I'm high. I need to give like more of a manual correction. But I just heard it going and going and going. So I hear, and I knew my blood sugar was in range. I was like around 120. So I was like, there shouldn't be more than 2 clicks of background insulin. And I'm hearing 1 click, 2 click. 3 click, 4 click, 5 click, 6 click. And I'm like, oh my God. And like my heart just sank. Like I knew what I did. So I ran to the other room and I pick up my pump, I unlock it, and it's literally giving the last like point whatever, 2 of the total 10 units. And by the time I like process what's going on in like that first 2 seconds, it's done. And 10 units are literally in my body, cannot take it out. What is done is done. And all I say is like, I literally put my hand on my head. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? And just like this instant panic. So from there, I now am like pacing back and forth and I'm like, okay, like start making moves. Like, what are we going to do here? So the first thing I did was I checked my blood sugar and I'm like, oh, 130. Well, that makes sense. I've been eating a little bit and I was 120, you know, 10 minutes ago. So it didn't change that much. Okay. That's a problem. Number two is I put my pump in manual mode. So the Omnipod, you cannot, when it's in auto mode, you can't suspend the insulin. So I put it in manual mode and then suspended the pump so that I was getting no background insulin. So now this is happening at like around 9:40 in the morning. Then the third thing I did was reverse engineered my insulin to carb ratio and figured out that I roughly for 10 units of insulin needed to eat about 150 carbs. Then as I was, and this is the funny part because it's like, all right, first I checked my blood sugar, then I suspended my pump, then I reverse engineered the insulin to carb ratio, and then I picked up my phone to film an Instagram or a TikTok video. I knew I had like a few minutes to film and I just want to like capture it in the moment for you guys. So I like filmed this like very raw, you know, just like telling you what was going on like in the moment. And as I was doing it, I realized that I actually had 11.75 units on board, not 10, because my breakfast bolus from like the hour prior was still going, like it was still active in my body. So now I have 11.75 units of insulin on board. And for some of you, all of our, you know, insulin sensitivities are different. For some of you, there might be, you might be like, oh, that's not a lot of insulin like for me, but for me, that's a lot of insulin to have on board. And so I am now even just like more panicked because I'm like, oh my God, it's not even 10, it's almost 12 units of insulin. So after I filmed the video, I'm like, okay, head to the kitchen, let's start, you know, eating. So everybody in the comments were like, eat cereal or like drink soda. And that would have been great, except for the fact that like we don't have cereal or soda in our house. I don't know if I've had real soda in probably 15 years. I used to have it as a kid, but I don't drink soda and neither does my husband. And cereal is something that like sometimes my husband gets, but like it's just not practical for blood sugars. I haven't found like, you know, just, I don't know, like it's just not, it's pure sugar, a lot of them. And there's healthier versions, but even the healthier versions, if I had them in the house, wouldn't have been helpful. So I really did need like a honeycomb cereal that would have been, you know, definitely bringing my blood sugar up. And I probably would have enjoyed that. Like I was thinking back and I'm like, what food would I have loved to just be like, oh, like, you know, like I have all this insulin in me, I might as well eat it. I was thinking like donuts. Like I love a good donut, like just like a glazed donut. It's like donuts if I had access to that, or yeah, like cereal I probably would have enjoyed. But the whole thing was too, I was full. Like I had had eggs and sourdough toast and then like this snack, like, and I didn't work out that day. So I was full. Like I just didn't want to eat, but I was like, oh, I have to. So I had ended up having and identifying like, all right, what's in the house that I could get like the most bang for my buck, that I can get like the most sugar without getting like super, super, super full. So I went for liquids and high glycemic liquids. So first I did 4 tablespoons of honey, which came out to be about 68 carbs. So if this happens to you, like honey or maple syrup, we didn't have any maple syrup. We just had like a little bit left, but I had a whole thing of honey, like go for that. And then I also had 10 ounces of orange juice, which were about 40 carbs. And then after I did that, I like felt physically sick. I'm just like, oh, like it's just like so much sugar sitting in your stomach. And I'm just like, I can't eat or drink anymore. Like I'm done. I'm tapping out. So this was about 108 carbs. So I felt like I did pretty good there because the gap between 108 and 50 is not that much. And I had suspended my insulin. So that's why I think I ended up like being okay. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get my glucagon. So I got my glucagon out of the cabinet. And I'm so grateful that I had it because I've never had to use glucagon to save myself from a low. And I've had like an expired prescription for years, but I just recently went to the endocrinologist maybe like 2 months ago and asked them for a Gvoke glucagon prescription. We're actually partnering with them this year to create more awareness around like ask your endo for a Gvoke prescription. So also just sidebar, when you see the Risley account or me do a glucagon Gvoke post, comment on it because it helps just like the engagement and more people see it. Anyways, I was like, if I go low, I'm just going to take the glucagon at about like when I get to like 55 and that I'm going to be okay. And I had faith in that plan. So I ended up getting on the 10 a.m. call and just keep my blood sugars nearby. I checked it every 15 minutes. And what ended up happening was my blood sugars, I'm laughing because I remember being like, oh, well, of course this is going to happen. Like my blood sugars were not, they could not have been a straighter line. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I sat between 90 and 100 the entire time. Like I took a screenshot of it after because I'm like, of course, like this crazy thing happens. And like, I literally have the most perfect blood sugars I've ever had in just like that amount of time for four hour stretch. So the pump was off totally for those 4 hours or even like four and a half hours. And then I was just waiting. I was in the waiting period of like, when is my blood sugar going to start to go up? Because that's when I'll turn the pump back on. So then 215 came around. I started to rise and I put the pump back on. I ended up going up to like 164 and then coasted there. It was a little hard to come down. I coasted there for like 2-3 hours and just kept giving like little micro corrections and the insulin was just catching up. But overall, like never went lower than 90, didn't end up going super high for just, you know, whatever, not having insulin and eating all that sugar, and it worked out. So it felt crazy in the moment because once it hit 10 a.m., I had like all the calls and the podcast recording and I was kind of like, I was present, but I wasn't fully present. You know, I was thinking like just, oh my God, is there going to be like a double arrow down and then I have to like go get myself glucagon and remove things on my calendar, whatever. But it was an emotionally draining day. That's the best way to describe it. It was just emotionally draining because your nervous system is like not settled and it's just like at any moment this can turn. So that is what happened. And I have a few takeaways in the hindsight. I have five of them. The first one is I didn't actually need 150 carbs because I suspended the pump. Like I wasn't thinking clearly in the beginning. I was like, oh, I'm going to need like 150 carbs and now I'm going to have the glucagon because I didn't have 150. But because I suspended the pump, that also countered, you know, that gap there. So that's the first thing if this happens to you in the way that you're calculating it. The second thing is, why did I not have a max bolus feature set up on my pump? I do not know. And oh my goodness, you guys, I'm doing this live right now. If you're watching on YouTube, I don't even think that I've set it yet. I've had this on my to-do list to set a max bolus feature, and I just realized I have not done it. So let's go in and do this right now. So I'm going into my settings, and I am putting, I have a max basal rate set. Bolus, let's see here. Okay, here we go. Maximum bolus. So you can do it from 0.05 to 30 units. And this is a way to like safeguard yourself from doing exactly what I did. And it's currently set at 12, which is such a random number. I am going to set this at 7. I'm going to set this at 7 units for my max bolus. I don't even usually give, I've never given that much, but once in a while it happens for like brunch or something. Okay. So that is set now and we are good to go. So set your max bolus on the pump because that wouldn't have happened if that was the case. So that's my second tip. I got a lot of you saying that in the comments, like set your max bolus. And you know what I think happened? I don't know if you guys saw this, but I accidentally ran over my pump with my car and I had to get a new PDM a couple months ago. And I believe when I set that one up, I just wasn't as like diligent or on top of it as the first time I set it up. And I do believe that I had a lower max bolus setting the first time I set it up because I think I just was following the directions closely and I was watching and going along this whole like tutorial online. But anyways, nonetheless, takeaway here is set the max bolus feature on your pump. Okay, number three is I definitely had a freak out moment. Like my stomach dropped, I was freaking out, and I was more annoyed than anything that I had to eat and that it was 9:30. And it was like freaking out, but it was also just like annoyance at myself. That's what it was. It was just, I was annoyed. Like that was such a stupid mistake, Lauren. Like why, like that 30 seconds, like why couldn't you just be more intentional? Like why were you just not thinking clearly to that you ended up giving yourself 10 units of insulin? And at the same time, right, like I had the knowledge and the confidence and the trust in my body that I would be okay and that I could handle this. So like, yes, I was freaking out, but there was no part of me that was like, I need to call my husband or my, you know, I need to call an ambulance or I think I'm going to die. And like, I was like, no, like you're going to be okay. This is more just like, why didn't you think more clearly around this? So there's all to say, like there is benefit of really like what we talk about here on the podcast, like learning your body's patterns, like know what insulin does to you, like being able to problem solve on your own, all of that. You have like the tools and resources within you is kind of what I'm getting at. Number four is with the over, I think it's like 500 comments on the post. There were so many of you guys sharing that you had done this as well, right? There was somebody, her name was Kensley, and she was a mom. And she was like, oh my gosh, this happened to me once. I saw my son's blood sugar was 425. I tested his, like I finger pricked him, but I didn't realize he had honey on his hands because we were just baking. And so I gave the correction for 425. And then right after realized he was really 110, right? And so, you know, from a mom's perspective, that's happened. And then Kelsey had wrote in college that she gave 36 units of fast acting insulin instead of what she was supposed to give her 36 units of long acting insulin. And then the coolest thing about this, if there's any silver lining, was a mom wrote into me that night and shared that her son had called her that afternoon saying that he essentially did the same thing. And she, because she had saw my video earlier on in the day and like, you know, what I did, she was like, listen, like this happens. It's okay. Here's what we're going to do, which was so cool. Like in real time to be able to, you know, her to not freak out maybe as much knowing like, all right, at least somebody else has done this. And she said she was reading through the comments that everyone was posting and getting tips for him. So many of us have done this. If you have, or if you do, like, no, you're not alone. And then number five, my last tip or my last takeaway is to all of us, right? Mostly myself right now, but like we have to remember to slow down. Diabetes requires us to slow down and just to reflect on like why was I in such a rush that I missed that, right? Or like, you know, why do I think that diabetes, like there's nothing's going to go wrong today. Like there has to be room. We have to put room in our calendars for like, all right, a pump site change or for this to happen, right? Like expect it to happen so that we're not let down when it does. And in my reflection of this, I look at like what was the root of it. And the root problem here, why I was moving so fast, is my relationship to where diabetes fit in that day was not where it should have been or where it could have been or not even where it normally is for me. I was having a day where my relationship to diabetes, it was like diabetes is in the back of the car right now. I am focused on work and getting to the city and meetings and all this, and I didn't have room for it. And so just a reminder that we have to make space and that diabetes is, we are worthy of making space for our diabetes, and it can save us, you know, the extra stress of something like this. So that is all I got for you guys today. Thank you for listening to this week's episode that turned into Lauren's Diabetes Confessional. If you are going to listen to an episode after this, I recommend listening to episode 96, which has to do with glucagon. That is with the Gvoke CEO, Paul Edick. And he talks a lot about glucagon, how to use it, because in hindsight, like I could have just waited if I was like super not hungry, and I could have waited, went down to 55, gave the glucagon, and that would have like worked well. But I'm happy. I'm happy with, you know, the 90 to 100 coasting of the blood sugars that ended up that day. And what will happen was what happened, and we learned lessons from it. And I'm just so glad that it reached so many people and is going to be able to, you know, just help people navigate the situation if it does happen to them in the future. So let me know if you appreciate these diabetes confessional stories, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for being here with me today and listening to this episode of Reclaim Your Rise. To let us know that the episodes we're putting out are impactful and to help us get our street cred up and let everyone else know that this is something worthy of their time to listen to, please leave a rating and review on our Apple Podcasts, send the show to other people impacted by T1D or maybe even your doctor, and share it on social media tagging at Risley Health and at Lauren_Bongiorno. New episodes of Reclaim Your Rise come out every single Tuesday, so make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so that you never miss a beat. Thanks again for listening, and as always, remember, diabetes is a challenge that we did not choose, but one that we can rise above.